Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim, daf Ayin Tes. We are holding on the top of daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. We are at Ditanya on the top line of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. This year is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, and the Shabbat Shalom and Aliyah. We thank him very, very much for continuing to sponsor the daf Yom Yishir. So we left off yesterday right in middle of a discussion. We were discussing this din of ro'in, this possibility that when you have a taroves, you pretend that one of the things were a different color than it actually is, and then try to visualize the impact on the overall color that it would have. So we had a stira. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold of Rowan, or does he not hold of Rowan? So we had one answer, which was Abaye's answer, that hadidei hadirabe, that there's no stira whether Rabbi Yehuda holds of Rowan. One time he was telling you his own opinion, the other time he was telling you his Rabbi's opinion. He personally holds that it's batel berov. His Rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel, holds that we're extra machmir and we apply this din of roim. So the first thing we're going to do is prove that Rabbi Gamliel is machmir in dinei taroves, and therefore it's reasonable to assume that he's the one who holds of roim, because that's quite a chumrah. It says I'm not willing to rely on bittel berov. I have to visualize what would be if this were if the yayin were mayim or whatever it might be. Then the Gemara is going to give a second answer to the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. It's going to be Rava's answer. Then the Gemara is going to move on to discuss, when do we assume Bittul is based on Tam, that as soon as the Tam is no longer there, it's Bittul? When do we assume that Bittul is based on Rov, that as long as you have the majority of one over the other, it's Bittul? And when do we assume it's based on Chazusa, on Mare, on what something looks like? And then at the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss, when you have two different mitzvos, are they Mevatel one another? Or for that matter, two different isurim, are they mevatel one another? We know that when you have heter and iser, there's dinim of bittel, because there's a clash between that which is mutter and that which is aser. We discussed a little bit yesterday, you have pigul and nosar in your mouth at the same time, so somehow one is mevatel the other, so that's two isurim being mevatel one another. Is that so pashut? Is it, and what's the status of mitzvos? Can mitzvos be mevatel one another? And this leads us to the discussion of Hillel, that he was Korech Matzah and Marar, and perhaps Korban Pesach, all together at the same time, assuming that he's getting all those mitzvos at the same time. But whatever happened to Bittul? Then the Gemara in Amud Beis is going to have an application of Rabbi Yehuda's din of Min Bimino Eino Batel in the laws of Tumah and Tahara. And then right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to have two explanations of the Machlokas that appeared in our Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer, whether you're allowed to be zorek a mixture that consists mostly of dam karban that requires rika and a little bit of dam tamtis or dam psulim. Can you be zorek that, or do you say no, since there's dam tamtis mixed in, you're not allowed to be zorek? So we had a machlokes in our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have two explanations what that machlokes is really about. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, going into Amud Aleph of tomorrow's daf, is going to give six more cases of different bloods getting mixed together and what the dinim are when those bloods get mixed together. So let's begin again. We are at Ditanya, top line of the page, Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. So we just got through saying that whether we apply the principle called Rowin is a machlokas between the stira, whether Rabbi Yehuda holds we apply the principle of Rowin is not a stira at all, because Hadidei Hadirabe, that he himself holds that that we don't say Rowin. It's Rabbi Gamliel who says that we say Rowin, and because he's very machmir in the dinim of Bittul, so he's going to say that that when two things look alike, you need to be machmir to visualize what if one of them did not look like the other, would it have the impact to be mevatel? So Ditanya, we have a brisa that demonstrates that Rabbi Gamliel is particularly machmir in the dinim of Bittul. That's all this brisa is going to demonstrate. It's not going to actually directly address the principle of Roim. It's just going to show that Rabbi Gamliel is particularly machmir when it comes to the dinim of Bittul. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabban Gamliel. Ein dam mevatel dam. That dam is not mevatel other dam. Whether you have a tarovis of dam that's meant to be nizrak on the mizbeach, or like dam karban that's mixed in with dam chulin, it's not mevatel, and therefore the whole thing is kashul lizrika. And or whether it's a case of the mitzvah of kisui adam, you have some dam of a chaya or an oaf that requires kisui, and it gets mixed in with dam of a behema. We assume the dam of the chaya or oaf is not batel, and therefore you must do the kisui. So and this is against various mishnayos. Meaning, this is Ram Gamliel's opinion. The din that dam is not mevatel dam when it comes to zrik on the mizbeach is against our mishnah nayin zayin and beis that says that roam is dam achulin kilu humayim, and therefore if there's not enough of the dam karban that it would have the maris dam, it would be batel, right? That we would apply the principle of roam. Whereas Ram Gamliel says no, dam is never mevatel dam. When you have a tarovis of min bimino, we assume that the dam karban is always there, and therefore you're always going to need to be zorikin on the mizbeach. And when it comes to the mitzvah of kisui adam, it's against the mishnah chulin. The mishnah chulin says we view the dam behema ki'ilu it's mayim, and if the dam achaya and the oaf would not have a maradam, had the dam behema been mayim, then it would no longer require kisui. Rav Gamliel says yes, it would, because dam is never mevatel dam. And not only that, ein roke mevatel roke. Roke of a tahor person is not mevatel the roke, the saliva or phlegm of a zav, even if it's mostly roke of a tahor. It's a tarovis of min bimino. Min bimino is eno batel. Now roke of a zav and the shechva zera of a zav and the meraglayim of a zav are all an avatuma min haTorah, and therefore it's and they're metame bekol shuhu bimaga bimasa. You touch it, you carry it, you become tame. The pasuk says by rok v'chiyorok hazav b'tahar. Ram points out l'chstumus mishka v'moshav perek aleph that we derive meiraglayim and shechva zera of azav because we assume that efshar shal below tzuchei ziva, that the meiraglayim and the shechva zera of azav probably have a little bit of ziva in there, and therefore it must be that it's tamei. So roke is not mevatel. All the roke of a Torah person in the world is not going to be mevatel, even a tiny drop of roke of a zav. Ve'in meiraglayim, mevatel meiraglayim. And meiraglayim of a Torah person is not going to be mevatel the meiraglayim of a tamei person, like a zav. Even if it's mostly meiraglayim of a Torah person, it's still going to be tamei. The Gemara in Nida darshins the tuma of meiraglayim of a zav based on a pasuk. The Rambam writes that the reason for tumas meiraglayim of a zav is because the efshar below tzichtzuchei ziva, that the meiraglayim must have some ziva in it. So the Kesef Mishnah just wonders why is Ram giving his own reason. The Gemara had a pasuk for this. Kesef Mishnah explains that the Ram holds that even though the Gemara said that reason of the efshar below tzichtzuchei ziva by shechva zera and not by meiraglayim, but the same svara would apply to meiraglayim. Meiraglayim also would be efshar below tzichtzuchei ziva. So even though the Gemara derives it from a pasuk, we're going to give the Rambam chooses to give the reason that fits both meiraglayim and shechva zera. So he gives the reason that fits both of them together. It's the simplest, most straightforward reason. So what did we get from this brisa? What we got from this brisa is that Ram Gamliel is very machmir in dine tarovas. That when you have a tarovas of min bimino, he holds that it's never going to be batel. Ooh, so once we know that Ram Gamliel is so machmir by min bimino that it's never going to be batel, so it would stand to reason that even when you have a tarovus of min b'she'eno mino, Rabbi Gamliel is going to be very machmir. And he's going to say that even if you can't see the iser, it's still not going to be batel. He's not going to assume it's going to be batel barov. He's going to apply the principle of roim, that you're going to have to pretend that one item in this tarovus is water. Would it then be mevatel? Kol's man that the rov is not roi to be mevatel the mara, it's not, the rov is not going to be mevatel the iser. And Rabbi Yehuda said in the Brisa that we view the white wine as if it were red wine, so that's following the shita of Ram Gamliel. But Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that we're not so machmir on min bemino enu batel, and therefore we're not so machmir min b'sheinu mino to apply the principle of roim, and we'll just say that it's batel barov. Wow, so according to this answer of the Gemara, according to this approach of the Gemara, this famous shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that min bemino zeno batel is in fact not shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It is shitas Rabbo. It is the shita of his Rabbi Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Yehuda himself holds min bemino does become batel, and therefore by min b'sheino mino he doesn't apply roim. He instead says that it's just going to be batel berov. So that which the Gemara says all over Shas, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says min b'mino einu batel, must be assuming not like Abaye's mahalich in answering the steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Right? We had a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Yehuda say roim? Does he not say roim? Answer number one was Abaye, which was hadidei hadirabe. We just demonstrated why Rabbi Gamliel, his Rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel, is the one that is so machmir to say min b'mino einu batel, and is therefore the one that is also machmir to apply the principle of roim. But there's a second answer in the Gemara to the stira between whether Rabbi Yehuda holds roim or not. And that second answer is as follows. Rava Amar, Rava says that really the Mishnah and the Braisa are following the same Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds the same as his Rabbi Rabbi Gamliel, that we are very machmir, min bimino is eno batel. And min bishe eno mino, we should apply the principle of roim. We should not just rely on bitul barov, we should apply the principle of roim. Aye, what about the fact that we said mechatas becomes batel barov, even though it's min bimino? Bidlisha tocho tor vegabo tame askinon. Over there, we're talking about a bucket that became tame from the outside of the kli, with a tumah durabanan, a tumas mashkin, where the whole tumah is only midurabanan. The Gemara Nida says that minatora kli is not mekabel tumah from mashke that is tame, because the mashkin is only a rishon l'tuma, and a kli cannot be mekabel tumah from a rishon l'tuma. Kli can only be mekabel tumah from an avatuma. So if a mashke is a rishon l'tuma, min hatora should have zero impact on the kli, but midurabanan we assume it can impact the kli. However, the rabbanan word goes there that once it impacts the kli, the reason there goes there for that is because mashka of a zav or roke of a zav or meiraglayim of a zav would in fact be able to be metame the kli, because those things are an avatuma, and an avatuma can be metame kli. So there goes there that all mashka that's tame, even if it's only a rishon natuma, will be able to be metame kli. But when they made that gezeira, they made the following chilik. They had to differentiate between it when a mashka is metame kli on a daraisa level and when a mashka is metame kli only on a drabbanon level. When the tumah is only midrabbanon, it's only mitame the kli migabo and not mitocho. That a kli shenitma meachorav b'mashkan b'mashkin, the Mishnah says in Maseches Kelim, achorav tame tocho Ozno, Ogno, Yadav, Tahorin. All the other parts of the Kli are Tahar, because they needed to make some sort of hacker to be able to distinguish that this Tumah is only a Tumah Midrabanan, and that you don't come to be Soref Kachim or Truma on account of this Tumah, since this Tumah is not a Tumah Mida Araisa. The Shittim Gvetzah says, well, wait a second, we're talking about a Kli that has Mechatos inside of it. Mechatos itself is Tameh, so shouldn't that be Metameh, the inside of the Kli? So he says, no, we must be talking about a case where it's the mayim chayim, but the efer paradum is not yet mixed in, and therefore it's not actually mechatos, which is tameh. So anyway, what's the case where we said that Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say that the mechatos is batel barov? It's a dli that's tocho tahor vegabo tameh. It's a kli that's tameh midrabanan, and therefore only tameh from the outside. The medina sagilu bekaldu, that really mikra din, all you would need to do is to be tovel the kli with a little bit of water going over the edges of the outside of the kli, and that would work as a valid tevila, because it's not tameh on the inside. So you wouldn't need all the water to flush the inside of the kli. You would only need water to hit the outside of the kli and to run over the edges of the top of the kli. And that would suffice as a valid tahara of the kli. Chazanish points out, really? That's how, doesn't tevila work that, you know, if you go to the mikveh and you have one finger out of the mikveh, the whole tevila is invalid? How can you have a kli that the water doesn't go on the inside of the kli? So the Chazanish says, an unbelievable chiddush. He says over here, the when they were gozer tuma only on the outside of the kli, it's not a typical tuma. It's not that the kli is tame. It's that there is tuma sitting on the surface of the outside of the kli. That we don't view it as if this is a tame kli. If the kli itself were tame, then you'd have any tevila you would do would have to flush out the entire kli. But we view this as if there is there's a tuma sitting on the outside surface of the kli that needs to be washed off, so to speak, with mei mikveh. So that's all that would be required for Rabbanan who dugazubu. But the Rabbanan required a tevila mitocha as well, because din l'chayis alayu, they were afraid that you might be hesitant about ruining the mei chatas inside of the kli and allowing any water to go over the edges. So v'lomat bilei, we're afraid that you're not going to, meaning what the kli really requires is the outer surface of the kli, the outside surface of the kli, being in the mikvah, and a little bit of water going over the edges. But we're afraid that you're going to be hesitant to allow any water to go over the edges, because you're going to be afraid to ruin the mayim chayim that's inside of the kli, the mechatas that's inside of the kli. And because of that chashash, the chamor goes there, that you need to be tovel the whole thing, all the mechatas with rov mei mikvah, that you need to flush it out. You need to make sure that there's more mei mikveh in there than there is mei chatas in there. V'kivin d'ikur ribuya, and once you have rov mei mikveh, lo tzarech. The chum don't require you to go any further than that. We don't say roim kilu heim yayin edom. We don't say, oh, let's view it as if it were red, and would it have an impact or would it not? Because the whole thing is only midrabanan. That's why they were willing to rely on bitul barov. The whole thing's only a chumrah. So really, Rabbi Yehuda normally says roim. Really, Rabbi Gamliel also normally says Rav. Rabbi Yehuda is following the sheet of his Rabbi, and he doesn't disagree. There's no daylight between them. Really, they're both machmir min b'mino eino batal, and by min b'sheino mino, we don't rely on Rav. We apply rowing. What do I do about the fact that there's a brisa by mechatas where we apparently rely on bitul barov? That whole thing was a chumra midrabanan. The whole thing was built on a chumra. So over there, we're willing to rely on bitul barov because the whole thing was only a chumra to begin with. The Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos, Perakimel Alach Yutas, paskins that a kli who's inside is tahar and outside is tameh, and it had yayin lavan or chalav, and you were matbilit, we follow the rov because it's only a tumah midrabanan. So asks the Ravid, that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that the Gemara says that by a tumah derabanan we follow rov and we don't apply rowin. But according to the Rabbanan, even on a tumah daraisa we follow the rov. Meaning the Rambam says, since it's only midrabanan, that's why we're willing to follow rov. That's how the Gemara explains Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda, who's so machmir about dinei taroves, that min b'mino zeno batal, and that we normally say rowin when you have min b'sheino mino. But if it's only a tumah derabanan, then I'll rely on rov. Why does Rambam say that? Because it's only a tumah derabanan, I'll rely on rov. According to the chacham who disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, even by tumas tarais, I'll rely on rov. So Kesem Mishnah explains that the Rambam holds that Rava is not really coming to be mitarets the stira in Rabbi Yehuda over here. He has a whole different read of the Gemara. Meaning the way we introduce the Gemara is there's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. We had Abaye's answer yesterday, Hadidei, Hadarabe, and now we have a second answer, Rava's answer. The way the Rambam learns it, this is not a second answer. He's not answering the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. He's simply just explaining the brisa about a dli tameh that had yayin lavan and chalav in it. That which the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda disagree, whether you follow with the rov or you say rovim kilu hu yayin adam, is talking about dafka by a tumah derabanan. But by a tumah daraisa, everyone's going to say roim ki ilu hu adam. So that's how the Rambam learns this line of Gemara. Anyway, so now the Gemara tells us there are klalim of bittul. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbanan b'taima, v'amar Rabbanan b'ruba, v'amar Rabbanan b'chazusa. The dinim of bittul sometimes follow tam, that if the tam is batal, then the item is batal. Sometimes it follows rov, that we have rov heter and miur of iser, so the iser is gone, and sometimes it follows chazusa, what the item looks like. When do we follow what? So min b'sheinu mino b'taima. When you have two unlike kinds, so then we follow the tab. So you have truma and chulin that are mixed with one another. So you see, if you could taste the tam of the truma, if there's no tam of the truma, then zar, non-kohen, is allowed to eat this taroves. You have basar and chalav mixed with one another. If you cannot detect the taste of the chalav in the basar, so that's it. You let a guy taste it, and if he cannot detect the taste of the chalav in the basar, so then the whole tarovis is going to be mutter. That's the concept of following tam. Now, from the fact that Gemara says min b'sheino mino is based on tam, Tosos is medayek that the Gemara is talking about the din min haTorah, because midrabanan we no longer are bodek for tam. Midrabanan we require shishim, and by truma we require meya, right? But that's a din midrabanan, that by truma we require a 100-to-1 ratio, and by everything else we assume that tam is only going to be batel when you have a 60-to-1 ratio. But min haTorah tam would have been enough, and midaraisa tam ki ikr. So tam is as long as there's tam, there's a problem, and once you're mevatel the tam, there's no problem. However, Tosfos quotes that Rashi in Chulin and Daf Tzadi Chesen Beis says that Rava holds that it's only gabe kachim that we say tam ki ikr, but by Chulin we don't apply the principle of tam ki ikr. So Tosfos points out that our sugya sounds like Rava holds that tam ki ikr is min haTorah, that he seems to assume that when he's talking about the dinim of tam, he said the dinim of bittul, says we follow tam. Sounds like tam ki ikr is min haTorah. Tosfos quotes the Rimi Orleans, who holds that even though tam ki ikr is min haTorah, you don't get malchus on tam ki ikr, because how do I know tam ki ikr? We learn it from the Torah requiring hagalas kelim that are balua with tam. So since it's only derived from a mitzvah saseh of doing hagalas kelim, so you're not going to get malchus on the mitzvah saseh. So therefore, even though we do see from the clay Midian that there is a din of tam kikr, you don't get malchus on tam kikr because you don't get malchus on an asay. So Rabbi Kiveger asks on the Rimi Orleans that how does the Gemara learn that nosin tam berov is not midaraisa from Reish Lakish, who said that if you have pigul and nosar and you eat them together, you're potter from malchus, because the little bit of each of them is batel lechor, it's nosin tam. Reish Lakish is talking about malchus over there. So you should not be able to use Reish Lakish as a raya at all, because he's talking about malchus. According to the Rimi Orleans, even if you say tam ki ikr, you're not going to say malchus on tam ki ikr. So again, three basic shitos. You have that tam ki ikr is daraisa. Rashi in Chulin holds that tam ki ikr is only daraisa by kachim, but in Chulin it's drabanan. And then you have the Rimi Orleans, tam ki ikr may be daraisa, but you're not going to get malchus on tam ki ikr, when you can only detect the tam of the iser in the kazayas of food that you eat. Okay, so again, so min b'sheino mino, we follow tam. Min b'mino, beruba. When you have two like kinds that are mixed with one another, so they taste exactly the same anyway, then we follow rov, that the iser could become batel in rov heter. Hecha di'ika chazusa, and when we're dealing with something that what matters to us is what it looks like, since we're not talking about eating something like mei mikvah, no one's drinking the mikvah, so then bimara. Then we look at what it looks like. We look at, does it still look like water? So whatever falls into the mikvah will become batel in the rove of the water. The whole essence of whatever falls in becomes batel based on, but not the rove, in the mara, based on when the mara changes and it all looks like water. Period. That's the end of that discussion. So says the Gemara, that which we say, the Gemara had said that Reish Lakish holds, we said in yesterday's daf, that isurim are mevatim one another, right? Reish Lakish was one that said that if you put a kazayas of pigle and a kazayas of noser in your mouth at the same time, you don't really know what you're having a kazayas of, because in any small subsection of that, there may be more pigle than noser, and therefore the noser is becoming batel, so you're not actually violating the isur of achilas noser, right? So, and we said the whole thing's asras suffik. So upliga, that sheet of Reish Lakish, that isurim are mevatel one another, is in disagreement to Rabbi Elazar, with Rabbi Elazar. Dam Rabbi Elazar, kishem she'ein mitzvos mevatel zuzu, kach ein isurin mevatel zuzu. Rabbi Elazar holds, just like mitzvos, two items that are a mitzvah, are not mevatel one another, berov, even though they're two separate mitzvos, you have two separate items of mitzvah that you're eating at the same time, one is not mevatel the other, so too, two isurim are not mevatel one another. What's the svara that mitzvos are not mevatel one another? Because the assumption is, Rashbam explains, Pesachim Kuf Tesvav, is that bittul requires conflict, that you need one thing to try to overpower the other. So you have iser and heter, that's conflict. But if you have two things that are both mitzvos, so there's no conflict. And memela, there's not going to we're not going to be able to apply the principles of bittel. So too when it comes to two different isurin, even though each one is a different isur from the other one. But if you have pigel and nosar that you're chewing together, you are going to be chayiv malchus because one is not mevatel the other one, and that's against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish held that when you're chewing pigel, kazayis pigel and kazayis of nosar together, you're not going to get malchus because we don't know which one is being mevatel the other one, and therefore doesn't have the proper shear. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Psulei Mikdash in Parak Yuches Halacha Chaf writes, "Hapigel va'nosar va'tamish shebelalon zeh bezeh va'acholon chayiv." Afal pishe riba min al chaveru eino mevatlo sheini isur mevatlan ze. The Rambam paskins not like Reish Lakish had said in yesterday's daf, like what Rabbi Elazar is saying that you are a chayiv because ein isurin mevatlan ze. So the Kesef Mishnah explains why would the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Elazar against Reish Lakish. So he explains because the Gemara in yesterday's daf had Rava asking on Reish Lakish and the Gemara gave a dochak answer to Rava's challenge on Reish Lakish. So first of all, when the Gemara gives a dochak answer to a kasha on something, we'd rather not rely on the dochak answer, and we'd rather assume the kasha is a strong kasha. Furthermore, the Yerushalmi holds, in the Yerushalmi it says that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Lazar. So when we can't be machriya from the Bavli alone, the Yerushalmi very often will be a machriya. So the Yerushalmi says like Rabbi Lazar, that at least that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Lazar. Okay, so that's why the Rambam Paskin is like this Shita. So it says, Man Shamit Leida Amar E Mitzvos Mevatel Zu Azu. Who is the Tana that we know that holds that mitzvos are not mevatel one another? That Rabbi Lazar says that just like Ein Mitzvos Mevatel Zu Azu, so too Ein Isurim Mevatel Zu Azu. He's making an assumption that there's somebody that holds that Ein Mitzvos Mevatel Zu Azu and that we subscribe to that opinion. Who's the one that says that? Well, Hillel, that's the famous Shita of Hillel. Titania Amru Alav El Hillel Hazaken. Hazaken, they said about Hillel Hazaken that when he would eat the Karm Pesach and the Matzah and the Maror, Bizman all three of those were mitzvos midaraisa, and that's why they're not mevatel one another. Tosa says, when now that we don't have a beis hamikdash, so we don't have karban pesach at all anymore. Maror is only midrabanan, only matzah is midaraisa, and that's why the Gemara says that bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim, you're not supposed to have matzah and maror together to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah or the mitzvah of maror, because one will be mevatel the maror, which is only chayim midrabban, is going to be mevatel the tam matzah, which is a chiyuv mina Torah. So, but bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, where there were all daraisa, so we do it at zeicha the mikdash kilel, we wrap the matzah and the maror together. But that's not a ikar mitzvah. The ikar mitzvah, we have matzah separately and we have maror separately to fulfill the ikar mitzvah. Now, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah that bizman hamikdash they were korech the matzah and the maror. So the Ravid writes that the Rambam must have understood that Hillel did not include Karban Pesach in that kricha, that it was only matzah and maror and not Karban Pesach. The Tosa says, no, of course it was Karban Pesach as well, that they that was in the, it was the lafa wrapped in with lettuce and lamb. It was probably delicious, right? So that was the, that's how they would have the Karban Pesach. But that was Hillel HaZaken. Why would he do that? Because mitzvahs are not mevatel one another. Sheyukorchum bebasachas, he would wrap them all together, v'yochla, and eat them at the same time, mishum shenemar, because it says in the pesukim about Pesach Sheni, al matzos umrorim yochluhu. So it sounds like you're supposed to eat them all together. That the time of the maror apparently is not mevatel the time of the matzah, because ein mitzvos mevatels zu one mitzvah is not mevatel the other mitzvah. Now in Maseches Pesachim, the Chacham disagree with Hillel, and they darshan that you eat them separately, each one on its own, and they hold the Gemara over there explains they hold mitzvos are mevatel zu azu. That mitzvos in fact are mevatel each other, and therefore not only may you eat them separately, you must eat them separately, because otherwise they're going to be mevatel each other. So the Karanara asks, why does our Gemara say that Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Lazar? Our Gemara could have just said that Reish Lakish passes like the Chachamim, because the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Lazar. I mean, it's already machlokas Tana, it's machlokas Hillel and the Chachamim. So the Ramban writes in the Melchamos that according to the maskana of the Gemara over there, Hillel and the Chachamim are actually not arguing about whether mitzvahs are mevatel zu azu. They're only arguing whether you're allowed to eat them separately. But they would both agree that ein mitzvahs mevatel zu azu. Tosos and Pesachim Kuf Tes Vav raises the following question: how do I know that just because Hillel says that you could eat the matzah and the maror and the Karm Pesach all together, that he generally holds ein mitzvahs mevatel zu azu? He has a pasuk over there, al matzah maror yochluhu. So maybe the pasuk is being mechadish, that in that unique circumstance, then we're not going to say mitzvahs mevatel zu azu, but elsewhere, then mitzvahs will be mevatel each other. So Tosos says that since Hillel learns that pasuk is telling me that l'chadchilo you must wrap them all together, that's the chiddush of the pasuk. But it must be that for the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, there's no must, but you're allowed to, right? Meaning there's no requirement of eating two mitzvahs together or putting two mitzvahs together, but they're not mevatel one another. So that pasuk is building off the premise that they're already not mevatel one another, and therefore the pasuk says you must mix them together, wrap them all in one unit. Okay, so once we mentioned this concept of min b'min, which we had mentioned previously, the Gemara is going to say, well, here we have a unique application of min b'mino enu batel in the laws of Tumah and Tahara. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that tells us the following. Charson, if you have a kli cheres, that's shalzav v'zava, klicher means like a urinal, meaning something that was used for that absorbed a lot of bodily fluids of a zav or a zava. So you have a charsin, you have an old urinal that belonged, made out of cheres, that belonged to a zav or a zava. So the meraglayim of a zav or a zava is an av hatuma, and we assume it's not like our toilets and where it's got a glaze over it and it doesn't absorb anything. These were kli cheres that absorbed everything. So it's fully absorbed with tuma through and through. So pam rishon v'sheni tameh. When you wash it out once or twice, it remains tameh, but shlishi tahor. Once you washed it out really well a third time, you could assume you got out all of the absorption of the mei raglayim that's in there, and now it's going to be tahor. Bamedvar mamurim shnasan l'tocha mayim. But that's only if you wash it out with water. Avalo nasan l'tocha mayim. But if instead you wash it out with mei raglayim of a tahar person, then afilu asiri tameh. That even if you did it 10 times, it's going to become tameh. Why? Because it's min bimino, meaning you're trying to be mevatel, the meiraglayim of the zavar zava, with new meiraglayim of a tahar person. That's min bimino. It's never going to become batel. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, shlishi afal pi shlonosel and tochumayim tahar. Then, no, three times is enough, even if you're using meiraglayim. Why? Because Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov apparently holds min bimino is batel. He doesn't hold them. This principle of min bimino enum batel. So man shamet leida amar min bimino lo batel. Who's the shita in this brisa that seems to be assuming min bimino is not batel? Rabbi Yehuda. That's clearly Rabbi Yehuda. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that ain dam mevatel dam. That min bimino is not batel. Tosus points out, even though earlier we said that Rabbi Gamliel, that Rabbi Yehuda was really just saying it within the shita of his Rebbe Rabbi Gamliel, and he doesn't really hold that way. That's Abaye. Is learning of the sugya. We learn like Rava that Rabbi Yehuda really does hold min bimino zeno batel. So he's the one that holds that the meira glayim of a tahar is not going to be mevatel the meira glayim of the tamei, even if you do 3, 4, 5, 10 times. Uraminu, but I'll ask you a stira. Pishtan shetva asonida. If let's say you have some flax that a nida is spinning the threads and she needs to moisten the threads in order to do the job, so she uses her saliva to do that. Now a nida saliva is tame. So if it dries out already, so masiko tahar. Once it dries out, anyone who moves those threads is going to be tahar because the roke is only mitame. Saliva is only mitame when it's still moist. V'imhayalach, but if it was still moist, mesito tame misha mashkapia. Then when you move it, you're going to be tame because of mashkapia. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af harotfo b'mayim, tame misha mashkapia. Even after it dries out and you moisten it with water, it's going to be tame because of mashkapia, because it's now been re-moistened. So it sounds like for Rabbi Yehuda that it doesn't matter how many times you've moistened it. Fafilu tuva, even if you did it many times, it's going to be tame. But isn't that a stira to what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa? Again, the Braisa didn't quote Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda, but the Braisa assume min b'mino zeno batel, and we know that is shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, who must be the author of the Braisa, said that may ragle azav, that is balua in this piece of cheres, will come out as soon as you rinse it three times with water. So three times rinsing with water, it will remove all of the tumah. Well, then how come the roke of the nida is not going to be removed with moistening with water as well? Roke and water are not min b'mino, they're min b'she'eno mino. Says Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, shiny roke to karir. That roke is different than other things. It does not come out easily. It really gets fully absorbed in the pishtan, and therefore, no matter how many times you wash it, it's not really going to fully come out. As opposed to the meiraglayim that's in the charsan, if you use water to draw it out, as that's min b'she'eno mino, then after three times the water will be successful in drawing out the meiraglayim that's in the charsan. Good. Then the Mishnah said, "Nesari b'dama psulin yishafich la'ama." The Mishnah said that there's machlokas tanakan and Reb Lazar, that if you have dam korban that gets mixed in with dam psulim, or in the second case of the Mishnah gets mixed in with dam tamtzis, so tanakama holds that you're not allowed to be zorik on the mizbeach, even if the kasher adam is the rov. You're not allowed. So it's not, you can't even say batal. It's the rov, the kasher adam. Still can't you do zrika on the mizbeach? Whereas Rabbi Lezer says, of course you could do zrika. It's dam kasher. What's the problem? So b'maikam iflgi, what are they arguing about? Why does Tanakama say that you're not allowed to be zorik it? So Amrav zvid begozum gzera b'mikdash kamiflgi. They're arguing whether we make a gzera in the mikdash, even though it's going to cause a loss to kachim, so that people don't come to make a mistake in the future. Demar Savar Gozrin, Tanakama holds, the reason you're not allowed to be Zorik this dam is because we make Gzeros in the Mikdash in order to distance a person from doing an Avera. So he said, you're not allowed to be Zorik this Tarovis of dam, even though most of it is dam carbon that's kosher, but it's mixed in with a little dam psulim or a little dam tamtzis, because we're afraid that you're going to come to be Zorik even when it's not Batel, even when it's when the ratios are different and there's mostly dam tamtzis and mostly dam psulim. Umar Savar Lo Gozrin, and Reb Lezer says, we don't make such gzeiros in the mikdash. It's rov dam tahar, so rov dam karban, so you're zorik the dam. That's one approach. Rav Papa Amar, a different approach to this machlokas. Dekulei alma gozrin. Both the Tanakam and Rebbe Lazar hold, we would make gzeiros in the mikdash. We're not worried about a hafsid kachim. Over here, it's the question of whether there's room to make a gzeira. Meaning, what am I worried about? I'm worried about that in the future there may be more dam tamtzis than dam nefesh. Does that ever really happen? Meaning, the dam nefesh is a massive gush of blood. Dam tamtzis a little bit later on. So, mar sover shchiach, Tanakam says it is shayach, it is something that is somewhat common for there to be more dam tamtzis, and therefore it's worth making a gzeira not to be zorik this dam. Umar sover lo shchiach, and Rabbi Elazar holds that it's not shchiach. Ooh, but if that's the machlokas, then they're only arguing about the case of a tarovis of dam karban with dam tamtzis. They would never argue about a case of dam karban with dam psulim, because it's obviously shchiach that you could have more dam psulim than dam karban. The only discussion is dam tamtzis and dam karban. Then when it comes to dam tamtzis, dam karban, that's where there's a machlokas whether it's shchiach to have more dam tamtzis. So says Gemara, so bishlam the Rav Papa. I understand very well, according to Rav Papa, where the machlokas, Rebbe Lazar, and the Chachamim is only about a taroves of dam karban with dam tamtzis, and not about the case of dam karban with dam psulim. Hainu diktani, nesariv b'dam psulim yishavich la'ama, b'dam tamtzis yishavich la'ama. I understand why the Mishnah broke it up into two cases. It says, if you have dam karban mixed with dam psulim, yishavich la'ama. And then separately, if you have dam karban mixed with dam tamtzis, yishavich la'ama, but Rebbe Lezer says you're allowed to be zorek. Because Rebbe Lezer is really only arguing on the second case, not the first case. So that's why it didn't put it all in one sentence. It didn't just say it all at one shot. El Rav Zvid, but according to Rav Zvid, that the machlokas is, are we gozer gzeros in the mikdash at all? And that machlokas could apply whether the dam karban is mixed in with dam psulim or whether the dam karban is mixed in with dam tamtzis. Either way, it's just a broader machlokas of whether we're gozer gzeros in the mikdash. So the Rav Zvid, then the Tana really should not have broken this down into two separate statements. It should have just said, as one statement, Nisariv b'dam psulim, b'dam tamtzis. right? Meaning if the dam carbon gets mixed in with either dam psulim or with dam tamtzis, yishafik lama v'Rabbi Elazar machshir, right? It should say, we have a machlokas, that Tanakama holds yishafik lama, and Rabbi Elazar says kasher. Why does the Mishnah split it up into two cases, which implies that Rabbi Elazar is really only arguing on one of those cases? So kasher. So that's why it's a challenge to Rav Zvid, and we prefer the second approach, the approach of Rav Papa. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah and six more cases of dam getting mixed with other dam. Have a great day, everybody.